And all is in vain unless He's in here with us. And I believe He's here today. I can see it in the faces. I'm so thankful that He's ministering to each heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the good time of worship that we've already had this morning. God, thank You for blessing us with Your presence. Thank You for blessing us with Your Son, God, that makes all of these things possible. Lord, I just pray today that, Lord, that we would do all those things that please You, Lord. There's nothing that I can say that can help anybody, but God, I just pray today that You would help somebody. And God, just whatever said today, that somebody would find some help. I know somebody's already found help today in the singing. God, we're so thankful for that. God, today I pray that as we open up Your Word, You'll help us draw nigh to You, and You'll draw nigh to us. We love You. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus, the second book in the Old Testament, and go to chapter number 17 this morning. I pray that God will use this to encourage you today. As I woke up on New Year's morning, for some reason I was a little bit discouraged. But God used this text to encourage me, and I pray that it would be a great encouragement and a great comfort to you as well. There's two ways really that we're taught to preach the Word of God. We always preach what thus saith the Lord. That's what we preach. But there's two ways that you can do that. You can do that expository preaching, which means you just go verse by verse and tell you basically what the text is saying. Or you can do a topical preaching, where you pick one topic, say salvation, and you see what the whole Bible has to say about it. And today, I switch it up a little bit. We usually do expository preaching, but today we're going to do a little bit of a topical preaching here from Exodus 17. We're going to take the topic of trusting in God, and we're just going to talk about how you and I ought to trust God in this upcoming year. So Exodus chapter number 17, in verse number 1, it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim." And you can underline this if you want to. "And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? And wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, and wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of all the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" And that's a very important question posed there in verse number 7. Is the Lord among us or not? And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But here we found ourselves at the first Sunday in the year 2020. I don't know if I'm supposed to say 2020 or 2020. Either way is fine, I reckon. But as we approach this new year, we shouldn't forget to also look back at this past year and remember all that God did for us. You know, I can probably speak for every single one of us and say that over the last 12 months, God was good to all of us. God was good to each and every single one of us. And in my life, God was good to me. Because 2019 brought marriage. Now, it's been good for me. I don't know if Monica can say the same. But 2019 was a good year for us. God answered very specific prayers for us. God provided for us when we could not provide for ourselves. So I can speak for me and my house and say that God was good to you and me. You know, I can also speak for our church, I think, this morning, and say that this past year God was good to Hardin Community Baptist Church. Let me read you some things. You know, it's not all about numbers, but it's good to see some numbers sometimes. In July, we had Vacation Bible School. And this week, I looked at our attendance sheet. And Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night was how often we had Vacation Bible School. And over three nights, we had 196 people show up to Vacation Bible School. I believe that's a blessing. In the year 2019, this is interesting, we had 19 people join our church. Thankful for four of them that joined last week, got us to 19. Amen. But God was good to Hardin Community Baptist Church in 2019. God provided for us. God was faithful to us over this past year. And although, you know, we look at 2019, all of us can raise our hands and say God was good. Good things came, blessings came, God took care of us. But in the very same breath, probably every single one of us can say in 2019, tests came, trials came, and troubles came. And you know, probably at times this past year we found ourselves asking the same question Israel asked in verse number 7, is the Lord among us or not? Some things might have came to your life and said, God, where are you? God, are you not going to answer my prayer the way you answered that person's prayer? God, are you not listening? God, are you not here? You might have found yourself asking that very question. Because all of us this past year have been tested in our faith. And you know, when your faith was tested this past year, I want you to think back to a specific time when your faith was tested. You got it? There was only two ways you responded to that. You either trusted God or you didn't. If you trusted God, you learned God is trustworthy. If you didn't trust God, you learned I need to trust God next time. So either way, if you didn't trust Him, you learned that He can be trusted. And if you did, you learned, I'm glad I trusted Him. But you know, as we look forward to the year 2020, I'm not a prophet. I cannot tell you what's going to happen in your life over these next 12 months, but there are some things for certain based on the Word of God that I can tell you that's going to happen in your life in 2020. God will still be good to you. God will still bless you. God will still take care of you. God will still be faithful to you. And God will still save those who come to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. All those things are 100% certain of a fact that will happen in this coming year. But in the very same breath, I can tell you also for a 100% certain fact, your faith is going to be tested this year too. And this year, when your faith gets tested, there's only going to be two responses. You either trust God or we don't. That's the two responses we have this year when our faith gets tested. So just for the next few minutes, I want to ask you that question. When it happens, will you trust God? Will you trust God? About probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, me and Monica had the opportunity to go to the Billy Graham Library. Raise your hand if you've ever been there. All right, most of you have been. Well, good. But let me say this. If you walk out of that place and you don't have the desire to tell a lost person about Jesus, there's something wrong with your ticker. Because that's one of the most inspiring places I've ever been, just to walk around. And all it is, it's the story of how God used a very simple man from this very state to change millions of lives across the world through the gospel of Christ. And it was only simply because Billy Graham chose to trust and obey God. He's very simple. There's nothing special about him. All he did was trust God and obeyed God, and God used him to change millions for His name. And when you walk through the library, when you walk through the story of his life, they call it the journey of faith. That's what they call it, the journey of faith. And I got to thinking about that. You know, once you and I get saved, we're on a journey of faith too. We're on a story telling the world about who we are in Christ. And when people say you were to look at your journey right now, would you say you've been trusting God or not? You see, in our Bible, Abraham had a journey of faith. It's one of the greatest stories of faith in the whole Bible. And you could say Abraham trusted God, couldn't you? God said, get up and leave your hometown, leave everything and go to a place that I'll show you. I'm not telling you where to go, I'm just telling you get up and leave and then I'll show you. He didn't ask questions. He just got up and left. God said, sacrifice to me your only son that you love more than anything in this world. Abraham didn't ask questions. He went to go and sacrifice his son. Why? Because he simply trusted God. Billy Graham trusted God. It can be written. It can be said. Everybody says that he trusted God. And you can see that he trusted God because God used him in a mighty way. Can I tell you, there's going to come a day to where they roll our casket on the inside of a church and somebody is going to preach our funeral. And when it does, I want it to be said about me that I trusted God. And I know you want it to be said about you that you trusted God too. You see, you and I are on the same journey of faith once we get saved. You see, in our text today, Israel was on their journeys, called the journeys through the wilderness. They went through there for 40 years just going in a circle because they didn't have much faith. But you see, they had just come out of Egypt. God had just split the Red Sea for them. They just walked right through. You would think if God split the Red Sea for you, you'd end up trusting God, wouldn't you? But they didn't really. And you see, but they've come here in chapter 17. And I want you to listen to this. In order to gain Israel's trust, God had to take them through some tests to gain their trust. Did you know when we get saved, we don't start out trusting God with everything in our life? We learn to trust God by time and by experience. See, when God takes you through an experience and you look back on it, you should be able to learn from that you can trust God. So what God had to do with Israel is say, I'm going to take you through some tests. So that at the end of the test, you can look back on it and say, I trusted God, or say, man, I should have just trusted God. See, we learn to trust God through our experiences and through the tests that He takes us through. And that's exactly what God is doing here for Israel. He's taking them through tests. And this test here, I told you in verse number 1, there was no water for them to drink. There was absolutely no water for them to drink. And here was the opportunity. Trust God to provide or trust themselves. Trust God to provide their need or trust that they can do it by themselves. Can I tell you, in the year 2020, there is going to come opportunities just like this. There are going to come tests just like this, where we either trust God or we don't. And this morning, just for the next few minutes, I want to give you 3 reasons why you and I can trust God with everything that we have. Why you and I can trust God with everything that we have. Number 1, trust God because of His goodness. Trust God because He's good. You know, one of the main reasons people do not trust God, I'm convinced of, is they have a very unbiblical view of who God is and what God is like. Johnny, I think I can say this. Some of you could say this. There's a lot of people, you may not think this in the front of your mind, but in the back of your conscience, this is the way most people view God, even as Christians. We view God as somebody who's up in heaven and He's angry all the time. He's looking at us and He's just waiting for you and me to mess up. And when we mess up, He just wants to punish us and take us down. That is the way most people view God today. As a God who's just angry all the time and who's just looking at you saying, go ahead and mess up so I can punish you. That's the way Martin Luther viewed God. Martin Luther was a reformer back in the 1500s who really brought Christianity back to the world through the Bible. That's the way he began to view God in his upbringing. He said this at one time in his book. He said, I was scared to pray. I was scared to get on my knees and even talk to that God. And at one point he also said this. I was scared to death to go to sleep at night. Because every time I would lay my head on my pillow, I had this thought running through my mind. Was I good enough today to please God? Did I do enough today to earn the favor of God? And he found himself every single night saying, I probably didn't. I wasn't good enough today. So he was scared to go to sleep, not wondering what would happen to him if he died during his sleep. You can see why it would be hard to trust a God like that. It's hard to trust somebody who you think is angry all the time. And that's why it was hard for him to trust God, because he saw God as just somebody who was angry all the time, just waiting to punish him. Because Martin Luther had a wrong view of God. Martin Luther had an unbiblical Catholic view of who God was. Can I say, yes, God is a judge. He is the judge of all the earth. Yes, God is righteous. Yes, God is just. Yes, God hates sin more than anything. But can I say, once you and I receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we become children of God, guess what? We've already been judged. Did you know that? Because your sins and my sins were judged on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus bled and died on the cross, God looked at Him and all of our sins were poured out on Him. And now that we have received Christ, God judges us as perfectly righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already been judged, and our sins have already been judged at the cross. And you know, when we receive Christ, the Bible says we become children of God. That kind of just flows out of our minds sometimes. You know, we're children of God. The Apostle John saw it as something that's absolutely amazing to be a child of God. He said, behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. He said, it's absolutely amazing that you and I, sinners, should be called a child of God. I don't know about you, but I think it's a big deal that we can call God our Heavenly Father. I think that's a big deal to me. That's a good deal to me. For every other religion in this world, it is absolutely blasphemous to call their God a father. Because the term father is a term that applies to affection, a term that applies to a relationship, an intimate relationship, and a term that applies to somebody who loves their child unconditionally. No other religion offers that kind of relationship with their God in this world. But Christianity offers that kind of relationship with our God, a father-child relationship. Like I said, that may not be a big deal to you. Because for me, my Heavenly Father, I can relate Him to my earthly father. For most people, that might be a bad thing. Because your earthly father might have been a bad person. Your earthly father might not have loved you. Your earthly father might have forsaken you and just walked out on you. But don't view that as your view of your Heavenly Father. But for me, I can view my Heavenly Father the same way I can view my earthly father. Because can I tell you, even still to this day, I'm 26 years old. And if I needed something, Brother Johnny, it didn't matter if I was halfway across the world. I could pick up that cell phone that I have and dial my father's phone and he would get on a plane and do whatever it took to take care of me because I'm his child. I've told you that story before. He drove 4 hours, quit everything that he was going to do just to come pick me up because I needed something. That's my earthly father. He dropped everything because I needed something. And for me, when I think about my earthly father doing that, don't you think our Heavenly Father would do the same thing? Because He's a whole lot better. Jesus said, listen, He said in Matthew chapter number 7, I believe it is, He said, what man is there of you? If your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? If your son asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Please don't give your son a snake. But then He said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? In other words, if you're a father, you're a sinner, and you still give good things to your children, don't you think a Heavenly Father who is so much better will give good things to His children? You see, this year you can trust God because you are His child and He is your Father. And He knows what's best for us. He's got the best plan in store for our life. Number one, you can trust Him because of His goodness. Number two, you can trust Him because of His faithfulness. You can trust Him because of His faithfulness. Let me ask you a question. I already know the answer to. Did God take care of you this past year? Did you ever wake up and not have food to eat? Did you ever wake up and not have clothes to put on? Ever wake up and not have shoes on your feet? Ever wake up and not have the essentials that you needed to live? No. Why? Because God takes care of His people. So let me ask you something. If God took care of us yesterday, can't we trust Him to take care of us today? The answer is yes. The old song we used to sing growing up, there's no need to doubt Him now. He'll make a way somehow. Safely this far, Jesus has brought me, and there's no need to doubt Him now. If Jesus has brought you this far, He ain't just going to leave you now. David looked back at a time in his life, he said, you know, I'm old now, and I've been young, and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. In other words, when I was young, God took care of us. And now I'm old and I look back and I see every day of my life, God took care of me. Which means you and I can do the same thing. Look back and realize God took care of us back there. Trust Him to take care of us right here. He's faithful and you can trust Him for that. But what's interesting, we'll get a little bit in our text now. What's interesting is that Israel did not trust Him. Israel did not trust God to provide their needs. In other words, they murmured, they complained, they tempted the Lord, the Bible says, and asked, is the Lord here? Is the Lord not going to provide? Where's the Lord? And what's interesting about this is God had already provided this need for them. I don't know if you remember the book of Exodus, but chapter number 15, God took them through this exact test before where there was no water. The Bible says in verse 22, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went to the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So here it is, a couple weeks before this. They had gone 3 days, and they hadn't found a drop of water. But the next verse says, on that third day they began to walk, and they saw a river over here. And I can imagine one of them just takes off and say, finally there's water, finally there's something to drink. And the Bible says they get over and they begin to drink it, but the Bible says it's bitter. In other words, they looked at the people behind them and said, we can't drink this, we'll all be hurling tonight. Hurling. Not the best word to use. That's all right. But you know what God said? The Bible says, the Lord said, you see that tree over there? Take that tree and cast it into the river, and that water will become sweet and you'll be able to drink it. In other words, that's a miracle. God just took a simple tree and cast it into bitter water, and now it was made sweet. And God provided their need. So here they could have looked back and said, hey, God provided back there. He's going to provide right here. But you know what this is a picture of? The bitter becoming sweet. This is a picture of how God takes the bitter, bad, troubling things in our life and turns them into something that is sweet and something that is good. You see, I think that's one of the most amazing things about God. It's what the devil means to kill you, God means to bring you life. What the devil means to harm you, God uses to heal you. You see, the devil meant to destroy Jesus on the cross, but God was using that to just bring life to the whole entire world. Wouldn't you hate to be the devil that every move you make, God has a better one? You see, what the devil has used to harm you, God wants to use that to heal you. And take the bitter things in your life and make them sweet. Have you ever been driving and there's a huge thunderstorm ahead of you? Huge black clouds. And you know when you get there, it's going to be pouring down rain. The thunder's loud. The lightning is crashing down. And man, it's kind of scary having to drive through that kind of stuff. But isn't it good when you get through it? And you get to the other side of the storm, and for some reason you can turn around and look, and you see the most beautiful rainbow you've ever seen in the world. You see, on this side of the storm, it was scary, it was bad, it was troubling, but when you got to the other side, it was beautiful. And you see, sometimes in our life, there's things that are bad. There's things that are scary. There's things that we're going to have to go through that are troubling, that are hard. But ain't it good that sometimes when you look back at it in your life, you can say, but God used it for good. But God turned something beautiful into it. The Bible says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things, good things, bad things, work together for good to them that love God. It reminds me of the old hymn writer, what's her name, that was blind. Fanny Crosby, thank you. When she was, I think it was 6 weeks old, she had an eye infection. It's back in the 1800s. They didn't have much that could fix that kind of stuff. They called their family doctor. Family doctor was out of town. So they got somebody to come in and bring some medicine that would heal her eye infection. Well, the doctor came in and the eye infection was cured. But through that medicine, she went completely blind. From the time Fanny Crosby was 6 weeks old to the time she died, she was completely blind. But you know, it was probably around the age of 40. Somebody walked up to Fanny Crosby and said, don't you wish you could see? She said this. She said, if I had one wish when I was born, it would be that I was born blind. She says, because the first face I ever want to see is the face of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it was bitter. I'm sure it was hard, but God took that and turned it into something that was absolutely sweet. And she said at one time, although I can't see, I believe I can see more than most people that can see. Because she had to trust God by faith. She couldn't see. But that's what God does. God takes hard things, bitter things, troubling things, and He turns them into something that is absolutely sweet in your life. That's what God does. You can trust Him because He's faithful. You trusted Him yesterday. We can trust Him today. Number three, and I'm done. You can trust Him not only because He's good, because He's faithful, but you can trust Him, number three, because He cares for you and me. He cares for you and me, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you, Peter said. So Charles Stanley said this, He said, trusting God means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. Trusting God means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. You know, if our whole life we only lived by what we could see, none of us would be saved. Because none of us got saved because we saw Jesus. We got saved because by faith we believed that God crucified Him and God raised Him from the dead. We didn't see it. We just believed it by faith. So we started out by faith, and Paul says you need to live by faith the rest of your life. You started. Let me ask you something. I'm trusting God to take care of me for all of eternity. Forever I trust God. And He's going to take care of us for all of eternity. Don't you think it'd be wise and very logical that if we can trust Him with forever, we can trust Him with today? If we can trust Him with that, we should be able to trust Him today. But you know, at times, you and I aren't going to be able to see God. At times this year, you and I are not even going to be able to feel God around you. And you're going to think, is the Lord among us or not? Can I tell you, you can trust Him because He cares for you. And He is among us. Let me tell you this story, and I'm done. There was a young pilot who just began flying for American Airlines. Although he was nervous about doing his first few flights across the Mediterranean, he was also confident in his abilities. He could do exactly what he was trained to do. But you know, one time within the first few months of him flying, he got on the plane and they took off. And a few hundred feet into the air, they caught a storm. They caught clouds to where he said, I can't see. I can't see anything in front of me. I can't see a mile in front of me. I do not know what to do. I was not trained for this. And he called air traffic control. He said, I'm just going to have to turn around. I cannot see one thing in front of me. We need to go back home. You know what the guy told him? He said, although you can't see in front of you, I can. Although you can't see where you are going, I can. So if you'll just listen to my voice and do exactly what I tell you, I will get you to your destination safely. You know, at times there's going to be in our life, you're not going to be able to see anything. But I'm so thankful that although we can't see in front of us, there's a God who can. And He says, if you'll just listen to me, if you'll just trust me and do what I tell you to do, I will get you to your destination safely. We won't be able to see, but we don't walk by sight anyway. We walk by faith. Musicians, you can come up. Everyone stand to their feet. This year there's going to be tests. There's going to be opportunities to trust God or not. And this morning, the first Sunday of the year, you can make the choice. You can make the determination. You can make the commitment to say, I don't know what's coming, but I know tests are coming. I know trials are coming. But I determine right now that no matter what comes, I'm going to trust God. Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. God, I pray that it was just used to help somebody and to comfort and to encourage, that You're a God who can be trusted. That God, You hadn't called us to plan our life. We don't have to plan our life. You've got it planned out for us. We just need to follow You and trust You and obey You, for there's no other way. So God, help us to do that this year. We love You and we praise You. If there's anybody in here that's felt the burden to come to Christ, I pray that they'll come down here and find a relationship with the Lord Jesus. If there's anybody who wants to join our church doors are always open. Father, we thank You. Have Your will and Your way. In Jesus' name, amen.